You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason in on the 7th day of January 2016 to take a look at what's been happening in Chicago at the CME Group. In the grains trade, in particular, corn futures are down a penny and three quarters at this hour. In the lead option March, they're at 351 and a half. July down one and 363 and a half. In December, off three quarters at 377 and a half. Soy complex, January beans up 2.5 cents. $8.78 and a quarter. The trade, the March at a penny and three quarters higher, 866 and a half. July up one at 875 and a half. And next year's November at 879 and three quarters up one. Bean meal down a penny and a half, or down $1.40, that is, at 265.50. The bean oil is 4 cents lower at 29.55. Wheat futures are down a half in the lead March at 462 and a quarter. July, the harvest month, down one at 474 and three quarters. And the hard red July down three and a quarter at $4.91 and a half. Live cattle futures, $1.30 lower at 135.22 and a half. The feeders are down $2.02 at $166.30. And lean hogs are up 22.5 cents in the lead February at $61 and a nickel. On the line with us to take a look at these numbers and talk about the trade just a bit, Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good morning to you, Dan. When we talked last, futures were higher. Now they're not.
Yeah, corn was at least 30 cents higher, I think, since last time we talked. So the last 2 weeks of December was a counter-seasonal decline when you look at the average seasonalities of commodities. And then, of course, that laid the groundwork for the lower start that we saw on Monday. Now, soybeans have pretty well regained their weekly losses or yearly losses, I guess, at this point, monthly losses. So the way they're at, they're kind of at unchanged to maybe slightly higher for the week. Corn is still down sharply yet for the week. Whether or not it'll can have enough juice in here to finish out the week on a strong note remains to be seen. I do think short term, the markets are technically oversold, that we probably could see some kind of short covering prior to next week's final crop report. A lot of traders will cover their, take their profits or cover their positions before a big crop report, just in case there's a surprise or two in there. So they like to take their money off the table. I personally don't expect to see any shockers in that report. But, you know, when it comes to January crop reports, anything can happen. I've seen that too many times over my years. I think there's maybe reason to believe that there's still some downward adjustment in acres to be done. But the problem we got is on export demand. Our sales to date are running well behind last year's pace, especially on corn and wheat. And I think soybeans are, even though we have had some pretty good demand in soybeans during the month of December here, and we're starting out the year with some good demand, we're still behind last year's pace. So I think traders kind of feel that we could end up with USDA could do some higher stocks numbers, but that's really not going to come until the crop report or probably the normal February. They may do a supply demand table. I'm not sure if the stocks report yet. Yeah, they will, because it's a crop report also. So we're going to get both December 1st stocks and a crop report. So we will see some balance sheet changes, and the trade is looking for those ending stocks numbers to kind of blossom up a little bit. Nothing that would be shocking, but it just continues to add to the overall bearishness of the commodity market.
Yes, just to clarify, so next Tuesday at 11 o'clock USDA, it's kind of a triple witching hour for reports, because you get the quarterly grain stocks report as of December 1st, what's been used in the United States, or what's on hand actually in the United States. So that's a survey, really, I think the survey about 9,000 places that hold grain, so they have a pretty good idea what's at least in commercial storage, less so as to what's in the farmers' hands, especially at this first one of the grain stocks. And then they pick up the last crop production report of the year, and that one as a survey of farmers that's done in the month of December, so they get a really good idea what farmers believe they harvested and put it in the bin for crops. And they also release, of course, the monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. Those are Tuesday of next week. Watch the WillAg website and my @CommodityWeek Twitter account. It will be posted into the website for those updates as they come out at 11 o'clock Central Time. Is there anything, you mentioned the export market, Dan, especially for corn, that you can look towards Argentina and say, once that market opened up, we had kind of a floodgate, and maybe corn and wheat both came out of Argentina? I don't, frankly, I've not been watching the market closely over the last 2 weeks to know whether that was the case or not, and did it have much of an impact, and is it just a temporary impact as commodities that have been on the books are actually moved into the marketplace?
I can't really tell you that, and I'm not too sure anybody really can tell you what has actually happened. I do think, I don't think the floodgates opened up as much as the trade anticipated. And, you know, the question is whether or not those supplies are actually there or not. I mean, I'm a firm believer in black markets. And it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of that corn and soybeans found their way across the border someplace and went that direction to avoid those taxes. So, I mean, anytime you have an export tax like Argentina has, who knows where a lot of the inventory disappears to. Now that new president, I think he's kind of at least wiped the tax off of corn, I think. He's reduced the tax on soybeans. But, you know, I think we'll have to see, you know, ultimately. But my guess is those inventories on hand may not be quite as large as what the trade actually thinks they are. But the farmer, I mean, if a government official comes around and wants to know where your inventory is, he's going to tell them it's in storage. I mean, he's not going to tell them he sold it because they're going to want the tax off of that. So I don't think anybody really knows. But we do know that at least, you know, for the time being, why overall world supplies seem to be fairly adequate to meet demand, especially when the world takes a look at China. I mean, China's the big story of slowing economy. Their stock market, again, you know, hit the trigger points or circuit breakers or whatever they call them, kind of like limit down. And you got to wait a few hours before they open up again. That's spilling over into the United States. I see the big hedge fund manager, George Soros, he basically says this is another 08. It's just a matter before everything rolls over and it takes a pretty good slide. Gold, I've noticed, has broken to the upside out of like a 10-week, 11-week sideways market. So it does look like there a lot of people are converting their wealth into gold. Gold kind of has retraced 50% of this advance from the lows that we had at the turn of the century and is finding good support. So I think a lot of people are preparing for that gold may be the thing to own for now because foreign currencies continue to decline. I mean, even the U.S. dollar, after the interest rate hike, has not really caught on fire by no means. We did rally a little bit here to start the year, but now we're kind of falling back here today. That'll be interesting to see what the dollar does do because I think eventually the Fed's going to have to raise interest rates to defend the dollar, not necessarily because if people kind of get it in their head that we want to own precious metals because they don't have any confidence in the world banking system, which I don't think anybody has any confidence in central bankers.
Hey, Dan,
I think
we're going to have to finish our discussion this afternoon. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Dan
Zwicker,
of course, is with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. This is WILL AM 580 Urbana.